Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. So we are in lab number one. We've worked our way through exercise number one. It was really simple. Now we want to load the recipe data into our app so we can actually look at recipe data and see the images and so forth. All right, but before we rush into that step, I wanted to first learn a little bit more about how the app is currently loading and retrieving data and displaying it in the Grid App project template. How is it retrieving the data? How is it displaying the data? How is it grouping these items for display? If I can answer those questions to my satisfaction, I know I'll be able to modify where the app is retrieving the data and I can change it and insert my own data in there, right? So what I want to do is take a deep dive into the template's code. We're going to need to put our thinking caps on. This isn't just simple stuff. There's a lot of background information that we need to digest, and once we have that under our belt, I think we're going to have enough information to then deeply customize the project template's code. So before we get started in earnest, what I want to do is talk about the ontology, the relationship between the various items and the groups. So let's start with groups. A group has its own properties like the title, the subtitle, an image, some description, and then each individual item also has its own title, its subtitle, an image. There are two different, I think, images associated with an item, and then a long descriptive paragraph as well, or several paragraphs. And then we know that there's a relationship between items and groups. Now, it's tempting sometimes to think in terms of the fact that groups own items, but one of the things that kind of had to flip in my own way of thinking is that, in a sense, items own groups. That a group is merely just a property of an item, because items are ultimately what we want to work with in the application. So once we have that understanding, some things will become a little bit clearer. And once we have the structure in mind, I think we can begin to jump in and digest what's going on here. So let's do this. Let's start with the execution of our application. Now we know from the previous lesson that the package appx manifest will begin by loading up the default.html page. And if we were to look in the default.html page, specifically with regards to data, we can see that there is this section of references to things that belong to WinJS, and then this section that references things that belong to our app. So there's a CSS file that we could load up and modify the styles just for our app. And then there are these three files, a default.js, which will load as our application loads, and we can put any of our own content in there, and we modified that in the blank app template when we created Hello World. But there's also this navigator, and I'm just going to make an assumption here that that's going to be helper methods that allow us to move from page to page and maybe even keep track of the history of which pages in our app that we've navigated to and remember state and things of that nature. But then there's this this data.js, and if we were to look in the JS subfolder, we can open up this data.js file. And let me increase the font size here real quick. And if we use the rollup function like I have already, you can see that there are probably about a half a dozen things that are going on inside of this app. The first thing that we need to notice here at the very top is that we're using this self-executing anonymous function structure like we learned about in the JavaScript Fundamentals series, in which I talked about when we created our own Hello World app. That just makes us a good JavaScript citizen, keeping all this code private. And then what we're going to do eventually here is create a namespace and expose it through a namespace called data. Okay. Now, what happens here at the very top is that we're going to create a list of items. It's not just any list, not just any array. It's a WinJS binding list, which means that it has the superpower of change notification, observability, right? So it's just like any other array of objects in JavaScript, except it now will notify, or rather, it will fire an event whenever something is changed about the list. And so, the list, as you can see here, once we've created it, it has a number of helper methods. If I were to hit the dot on my keyboard here and bring up IntelliSense, there's all these helper methods to get at, get item from key. We can move items, join lists of items together, and just just sort things, splice things, just a ton of helper methods. And we're not going to use all of them. But in this case, the template's using this create grouped function or method. And so I think it would be helpful if we take a look at that in MSDN's help to kind of get a better idea of what's going on here. So if you were to start here with the description, it'll kind of boggle your mind a little bit. I think what's more helpful is to move down to the example section. And what this example is doing is, first of all, creating a WinJS binding list with animal names, pet names, your name of your pet and the species, whether it's a dog or a cat. And so the example, the little helper text says here that it's going to use create group to create a list of cats and dogs into two different groups, one for cats and one for dogs. And so it does that using create grouped. It will use two functions, one called get group key and one called get group data. And so get group key will basically say that whenever you need a group, look at the data item.species field. So we're going to look at this field and divide every given item into one of two categories, one or two groups, either dog or cat. Okay, so we're going to take our list of items and we're going to then subdivide it into one of two groups. And then if we needed to get at that group, we would just pass in the given data item and it will return back to us all the items in that group, I think. I didn't really look at this very closely, but now it's time to move up to the description. And so what create grouped really does is it creates a live grouped projection over your list. So as the underlying list changes, the grouped projection reacts to those changes and may also change. So the group projection also sorts all elements in the list to be in a group contiguous order and so on. We don't need to know any of that stuff. But essentially right here, we get the feeling that this is the beginning of the relationship between the items and the groups. That we have an item that'll be essentially added to the group here in lines 12 through 14. And as they're added to the group, to the list, they'll be split into one of several groups. Group 1, group 2, group 3, group 4, you know, as we saw our application as it was running. And so to actually grab items that will be added to our list and ultimately then divided into groups, this generate sample data method is called, which I know is at the very bottom of this file. If we were to open it up in line number 59, you can see that a number of sample groups are created, so an array of groups, and then a number of items. And it's just pretty much boilerplate information. But notice that each item has a group property, and it references one of the groups that are defined here in the array. So these belong to group one, these belong to group number two, these belong to group number three, and so on, as defined here. All right? So what we've done is we create a list of items, all of these guys, all right? And then we say, whenever we need to work with groups, we're going to work with this special projection on top of our list called grouped items. And so we can get at all the items that belong to a given group. All right, so in line number 16, we're defining a namespace called data so that we're basically poking a hole through our private area here that we're working with our self-executing anonymous function. So whenever we need to get at the items or the groups, we just call data.items or data.groups, all right? And there are a number of helper functions that are available as well. Get item reference, get items from group, resolve group reference, and resolve item reference. And so these are merely references to functions of the same name that exist here. And we could read these explanations in the comments. I'm not going to take the time to do that, but basically helper methods to get at or resolve references to individual items and groups in our list. Okay. So that's a pretty complete rundown of the data.js class. I've avoided a lot of the low-level detail. But in my mind, the question now is, how do we get all of the data into this list, or that's already in this list, how do we get that bound to our templates, the list that we see whenever we hit F5, all right? And so when we hit F5, what file is being loaded up? Well, let's go back to our default.html page. Now, we already know the answer to this, but I'm just going to show you how we figure it out. So here in our body, there is this div called content host, and it will be converted into a control of type application.pageControlNavigator. So I suspect that this has something to do with the whole navigation of the application, where you load stuff into this default page and load it out and load in the next page based on the item that was clicked on, or maybe it helps with the history as we click the back button to make sure you go back to the previous page that's stored somewhere in a history of items that were previously viewed. And then below it, I get to see this, that data win options. So remember from a couple lessons ago when we were looking at adding the options in an object that we could say in that Hello World project, I forget what it was specifically, but notice it uses the word home in this case, and it sets home equal to groupedItems.html. So I suspect that when this default.html first loads and it has this div that's going to be this navigator that will house the page controls that are loaded into and out of it, right? And so by default, the home will be this groupedItems.html. So we've already looked at this in the second lesson, I believe, where there were this pages subfolder that had a subfolder for each of the major pages in our app. So we want to look at this group items page, and this is what comes up initially when we hit F5, right? And so it has its own HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. So I bet you what's going to happen here is if I were to look at this groupedItems.js page, let's blow this up a little bit. Okay, and so here's where I need to become a detective. I'm going to hit Control F on the keyboard, and how would I expect to see a reference to our items that will ultimately get bound to for the page and the groups? I would expect to see it referenced by its namespace. So I'll go data dot, and let's just use group, and now let's look through this groupedItems.js and see where it's being referenced. And so there's two places. This initialize layout is one method, and then this item invoked is another method. And so I want to focus on this this initialize layout function. You can see here this function updates the list view with new layouts. All right, I don't want to talk about layouts just yet. We'll talk about that when we get into the different view states. But at any rate, notice these lines of code. This is where we're setting the item data source and the group data source for the list view control to data.items and data.groups. All right, so we're on the right path. The next question in my mind is, where do we find this? Who's calling this initialize layout? How does it get called? Well, if you look on this page, let's see, let's start back over from the top here. You can see that this ready event is where this initialize layout gets called. What does ready belong to? Well, if we scroll back up to line number 9, we can see that it belongs to this UI.pages.define. So here we're creating a page control, and you remember in the Hello World example from a couple of lessons ago, we created page.html here instead of this groupedItems.html. We said we wanted some code to fire whenever or we wanted to wire up a processed event. That's what it was. And that processed event, we know, fires whenever a new page control, when the splash page is ready to be hidden and the page has all been loaded up and ready to be displayed. And so that's what ready does as well. It is just another event that fires when you get to a certain point in the page cycle of the page control. So this happens As it says, this function is called whenever a user navigates to this page. It populates the page elements with the app's data, ultimately. All right. So we're setting up a list view control, and then we're calling initialize layout, and initialize layout is what actually does the data binding. It sets the item data source and the group data source. Where am I going to get my data from? You're going to get your item data from here, data.items, defined in the data.js, and your data groups, which again is the projection on top of that items collection, which we learned will do, you know, will determine what group are you in, and will return just those items for that given group. All right, so at any rate, now what is actually going to create an instance of this page control called groupedItems.html? Do you remember we talked about this at the very outset of the lesson? Let's look at the default.html. If you take a look at the data win options, we're setting home equal to the groupedItems.html. And so the very first page that loads up, it's going to be loading up a grouped items page control. When that page control is initially loaded, we want the ready event to fire. We'll set up the list view. We will call initialize layout, which will do the binding. And that's how we get from default.html down to the data to grab the items into the collection, bind them up to our list view control, and then display them as the first thing that you see when you run the application. Whew. Okay, so hopefully it was helpful to start at default.html, work our way down to the data.js, see how we get a list of items and then how they're split out into groups. And then as we load in the grouped items page, how that ready event fires, calls the, what was that again? The initialize layout, which is partially responsible for setting the item and group data source of our list view control to our data namespaces, items collection, and its groups, and actually then display them as we open up our app and we see that list of items, that grouped list of items, the very first thing. Hopefully it was helpful to see all that come together. All right, so the next thing to do now is to use this information then to deconnect that data.js and insert our own Contoso Cookbook data. And so we're gonna do that starting in the next lesson. But beyond the specifics of the Grid App template and the WinJS library, how it's all wired up, I hope you can take away a more general lesson, and that's how I go about picking things apart to get a better foundational understanding of how the code works so that I can make changes to it in the future. I start at an entry point and I start to dissect it and make sure I understand the impact of a given module or function or a variable or a class or a style or element of some sort, all right? So then in some cases I will just use Control F to find and see how it's referenced throughout the various files. I'll use Bing.com to search for the documentation for a given class. I drill in to find the pertinent information, you know, whenever I get to one of these screens. If something doesn't make sense right away, I start just looking and sitting, and what you didn't see me do is spend a half hour staring at this until it kind of made sense conceptually. I did that before I started recording the video, okay? Nobody just knows all of this without staring at it for a long period of time. So I read this and I match up the clues of what I see in, for example, we were in the, what was that, data.js file. And I start picking it apart and try to understand how all this comes together. I match any clues from the names of things or the comments that were left by the developers. And in this way, I'm able to build a mental model. And so you need to follow a similar process so that you can teach yourself new technologies. The only way you really understand all this stuff is to teach yourself, to become a detective, to ask the right questions, and to build a map in your mind and get it all laid out so that you can make the appropriate modifications, right? All right, so in the next lesson, we're going to be following the steps in the lab. But we can do so now with a little bit more confidence. We have a complete understanding of how the various pieces of the puzzle work together. Hopefully you got that from this lesson. So we'll see you in the next lesson. Thank you very much.